Those two lifeguards are totally doing it. This is what we chose to start the 100th episode with. Well, at one of the city municipal pools, two of the lifeguards at one of the city pools are absolutely hooked up. We've been doing this like 12 years. It took us 12 years to finally get to 100th episode. The 100th episode was supposed to be last week, but we missed a week because we were waiting for the Julian Edelman documentary 100% to come out so we could mention it. Yes, that's why we didn't do a podcast 2 weeks ago. And finally into the 100th episode, and this is our first topic. Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious, the woman and the dude, it's pretty obvious that they're together. There's no problem with it. This is Says in the Yearbook at hotmail.com. That's to contact us. I'm Doug. The whole name of the podcast, the sportscast, is Says in the Yearbook, or just the Yearbook. They are personally ruining baseball season for me. Kent State needs to get more publicity for being the home of Patriots star Julian Edelman. This is in no way a knock on the documentary that we just brought up 100%, which mentioned Kent State, showed off Kent State gear, and showed Kent State games. But it's unintentionally symbolic that more time was spent on Edelman's junior college than on the Golden Flashes. The Golden Flashes, Kent State, could use the publicity, but so far every place Edelman's story has been told, and he was the one telling it in this documentary, so far every place his story's been told, his college career has been kind of a footnote. The focus has been elsewhere, including the Patriots, obviously. The Edelman documentary, which is the reason we bring this up, is at least, and there have to be more, but it's at least the third documentary made about a May 22nd born athlete. Last week we said it was the second after the Marcus Dupree ESPN 30 for 30. You don't have to look it up. You've definitely seen it. But we forgot about the George Best, one of the greatest soccer players who ever lived, documentary from around 2016. We have not seen the George Best film, but the reviews were not great. But anyway, forgetting about George Best, that was a big, big miss on our part. It also means two of the three documentaries made about May 22nd born athletes are cautionary tales. I'll show you who's a cautionary tale born on May 22nd. By complete coincidence, we weren't looking for this. We just happened to see it. We came across a magazine article from 1984 where Howard Samuels, the president of the now defunct, then not quite defunct, North American Soccer League, said his league's decision may eventually affect all professional sports in America. Samuels was talking about a hard salary cap. NASL teams could only have an $825,000 payroll in 1984, and he told Sports Illustrated then, quote, "Even though this was forced on us, all of American pro sport will thank us," close quote. The NASL went under anyway. But 25 years ago, Samuels was mostly on. The NFL has a wide-open championship race to the chagrin of many, but not to me, thanks to a salary cap. The NHL, probably the league with the worst argument for instituting a cap, has benefited as well. And the NASL's successor, Major League Soccer, is still with us, at least partly because of a cap. Baseball refuses to go the cap route, and so we have the opposite of a wide-open championship race. The only thing that Samuels could not foresee, the only thing he got kind of wrong about, or he was kind of wrong about all those years ago, was ironically the NBA. The NBA implemented a slightly different version of the cap in the 80s, and I think it was just before the NASL did. And the NBA has also thrived, competitive balance with a salary cap in place. Or at least it did thrive. In an interesting labor case study, the NBA's efforts to convince small market stars to stay in small markets is not working. Basketball teams in the old days had a cap, but they could exceed it to re-sign their own huge star. But in the late 90s, the NBA institutes what's called maximum or max salaries. So say the Suns could offer one of their stars, one of their own stars, more money and more years to stay than any other team could offer that player. Good idea. But it backfired, and you can still hear it backfiring in the background today. The Suns, just for example, can offer a lot more money to keep a player, but not a ton more money than other teams. So if you're the free agent, why not take a somewhat smaller contract to get out of Phoenix and head for LA and the chance to play with other superstars? Before the late 90s, with just a salary cap and the ability to exceed the cap to re-sign your own star, the Suns could offer their star an enormous deal to stay, and the Lakers would not have been able to fit several superstars under the cap. But since the late 90s, the Suns could only offer their star a really good deal to stay, and the Lakers can offer a good deal. So now, to make what they're actually worth, NBA superstars all join forces on a handful of marquee teams. The salary cap isn't really what failed here, but the salary-capped league has the same issues as unsalary-capped baseball when it comes to retaining stars. This is going somewhere. It was, whatever happened to the Clippers. No, out is Toronto and in are the Clippers, suddenly, who used the lure of Los Angeles to lure Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Whether it works out or not is another story. Previous Clippers superstar acquisitions, and there have been some, did not work, but they happened also under far less stable ownership. But things still have yet to go completely right for the Clippers, so who knows? What we do know is, I don't know, but the thanking part, but Howard Samuels called it, count it, just months before his death, actually, back in 1984. The former Texas Rangers star Josh Hamilton, that Josh Hamilton from Major League Baseball, was seen on Lifetime's new reality, apparently, series, Marrying Millions. Or at least pictures of Josh Hamilton were seen on Marrying Millions. They were seen on the show. But apparently the producers did not have the express written consent of Major League Baseball because the logos on Hamilton's uniforms were all blurred out. Josh Hamilton's former wife is on the show, which is why they were showing the pictures. And now, the U.S. Women's World Cup soccer team. Congratulations. The story with Megan Rapinoe is she's one of the best or the best player in the whole world, maybe the most famous player, men's or women's, in U.S. soccer history. After this is over, you can argue over who's the most famous. She's critical to the U.S. World Cup soccer team and a charmed, talented player. But the truth, according to Rapinoe, is that for a while, Rapinoe wasn't sure whether she was even going to be on the U.S. team for 2019. First, she's not charmed. She has terrible luck with injuries. After that World Cup, she tore her ACL, which was the third time tearing the ACL for her. So obviously you have to gut out rehab, and then you're never sure if you're going to make it all the way back. And then almost exactly 10 months after she suffers the injury, Rapinoe knelt during the national anthem before a game she was appearing with her professional team. Now, if you read the excellent piece that Sports Illustrated did on Rapinoe in June, you know that at that point, in 2016 and into 2017, Rapinoe thought that she was on the way out of U.S. soccer. She thought she was on the way out of their plans. In the fall of 2016, Rapinoe was not added to the national team for two games, then didn't play in two other national team games, and she was not on the roster when it was announced. The rosters were announced for a big deal 2017 international tournament. She was not on the roster. Rapinoe told SI, quoting, "I could have faded out pretty easily. My back was really against the wall in a lot of different ways," end quote. And Rapinoe doesn't think it's a coincidence that when U.S. soccer passed a policy requiring all players to stand for the Star-Spangled Banner, after that policy was in place, then she was added to the U.S. roster. She doesn't think that's a coincidence. Rapinoe's years since the last World Cup, hey, the ladies are getting the gang back together. We're going to make another run at the World Cup title. Yay, welcome back, ladies. We missed you. Well, Rapinoe's time since 2015 was spent coming perilously close to a career-ending injury and maybe coming perilously close to losing her spot on the team. Had there not been an anthem policy in place, would the U.S. have relented once the World Cup started getting closer and closer and welcomed her back to the team? But all of this uncertainty in her career was pretty much lost in the ocean between here and France. Rapinoe's life has been perfect, period. However, as you know, a complicated story for Rapinoe has a happy ending. And the U.S., which was not dominant in the playoff rounds, played its best game in the final and then won. Somehow, we have run out of time on the internet. I married millions. That's a better title.